وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن رِّبًا لِّيَرْبُوَ فِي
That which ye give in usury in order that it may increase on other people's property hath no increase with Allah.
Welcome to Islamic Economy, a program that is aimed to make us understand what Islam tells us with regard to spending, with regard to saving money, to dealing with money.
God is looking for an economic system that's based on real things. It's based on real production. It's based on real services. It's based on creating real value for people.
Islamic Economy, a program that offers Islamic solutions to your economic problems in your daily lives.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين سلام عليكم ورحمة الله Dear brothers and sisters, welcome once again to another episode of Islamic Economics. In this program, as usual, we talk about issues pertaining to Islamic economics. How does Islam look at economy? What are the elements that enable one to progress economically? And what are the things that Islam reprimands with regard to dealings of Islamic economy, and so on? Our discussion was revolving around the advantages of economic affluence. We said that after a person has already attained economic affluence, there are advantages that he would face or he would enjoy, and there would be disadvantages also that he would be vulnerable to. We started with the advantages and we mentioned one or two advantages in detail. One of these advantages was that a person would maintain his self-esteem and would not resort to begging, which is a kind of being ignoble, being low and base near other people. And the second is that we say that he would be more focused to his aspirations, to more important things in life, and he would not be preoccupied from the important things that he must do in this life and for which he was created, that is building his soul, building his family, trying to make the society better and so on, trying to make the future brilliant and so on. So with regard to this advantage, we would like to mention one, two traditions that emphasizes this. For example, we have a tradition from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam that says, نِعْمَ الْعَوْنُ عَلَى تَقْوَى اللَّهِ الْغِنَى The best assistant for taqwa is affluence, that is needlessness. Why do we say the best assistance is taqwa? Because the best assistance for taqwa is needlessness, because indeed a person who is pious, who does not get involved with things which, you know, which would hamper him from higher aspirations, it is an advantage for this person. Obviously, not only that, but for a person who has taqwa and he would like to assist other people, to solve other people's problem, when he sees this and observes this and has the sense of piety in himself, this needlessness is an advantage. This affluence, economic affluence, is an advantage. He can help them and he does not have to think about, you know, whether his economic problem will be solved by another person or not. He would not think about these things, and therefore this is an advantage for such a person. Another tradition we have is from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, where he says, نِعْمَ الْعَوْنَ الدُّنْيَا عَلَى الْآخِرَةِ The best assistance for the hereafter is the world. That means the worldly amenities. We can, in fact, if you go and see, it is this world that has been given to us so that we can build the hereafter. When we are in a house which is properly packed so that we can maintain our chastity, when we have, for example, a source of communication or a source of transport which is something of our own, we do not have to beg here and there, and we would not have to go to public transport which is full of problems, for example, in some of the countries. Obviously, in Muslim countries, perhaps you may not find these problems, but in other countries where Muslims are not involved, we have different kinds of habits and etiquette. In public transport, we might face problems, and therefore, for a muttaqi, for a person who is ahlul taqwa, and for a person who seeks the hereafter, dunya and the amenities of this world is an advantage. In short, if we go and see, this is a very important advantage that we are talking about, and those who enjoy this advantage know very well how important it is that one can be focused at his high goals and aims, and is not preoccupied with the petty things of life. However, we also mentioned this very important point previously, that sometimes being deprived of these amenities or being deprived of the physical advantages of life is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that you yourself can be stronger than before. With all the difficulties of poverty, yet you do not make any kind of sin. With all the problems, material problems that you face, you do not get into things which are forbidden by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and thus you become stronger. And that is why you will find that in some of the traditions, we have emphasis that, you know, some of the people who are poor will have great stations in the hereafter. Why? Because despite their poverty, they protected themselves, they did not commit evil, and they continued and they progressed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them higher states just because in that state they could bear their problems. So sometimes it is a trial and tribulation. But in other cases you find that this is a very great advantage for a person. He is not preoccupied with these things so that he cannot attend to important things.
توحيدك قد أخلى قلبي من كل شريكي يا ربي توحيدك.
Islamic Economy, a program on Islamic economy, every Friday on the Call of Islam radio station by Hujjat al-Islam, Sheikh Muhammad Khalfan.
Another advantage which we also discussed earlier, but we would like to give you some more information now, is that it facilitates expansion of Islam. And obviously, this is something which is very important. We discussed about it, that how the embassies of a certain country can represent that country and export Islam in the different countries. And we find that in some of the places this is being done. And how can this be done? When the country is affluent economically. If the country is poor, it cannot install any embassy in another country. A very important personality that we find in the history of Islam is Bibi Khadija Salamullah Alayha. She was extremely affluent and she was extremely rich. And it is said that she helped Islam enormously through her wealth. And the Holy Prophet, through her wealth, really disseminated Islam and helped so many people, because she was extremely affluent and she used her wealth for this purpose. There is a very beautiful statement from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam which is worthy of mention. He says, ما نفعني مال قط مثل ما نفعني مال خديجة سلام الله عليها. No wealth benefited me the way the wealth of Khadija سلام الله عليها did. That means that really the wealth of Bibi Khadija سلام الله عليها, which was given out of utter sincerity for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the expansion of Islam, for the dissemination of Islam, was extremely beneficial to the Holy Prophet. This, the lesson that we get is this, that wealth and economic prosperity is something which is not reprimanded in Islam. Rather, it is something which is encouraged, and through this a person can disseminate Islam and export Islam to people who do not know what the reality of Islam is. Another advantage worthy of mention, when a person is in the state of affluence, economic affluence, is assisting the disadvantaged of the society, of one's own society. Obviously, sometimes you will find that a society is very rich, but some of the inhabitants of the society are poor. And because of that poverty, because of their individual problems, you see, because they themselves are doing things which are not correct, they may be disobedient to Allah, they may not wake up early in the morning for prayers, they may, for example, commit different sins, and because of not having taqwa, you find that although others are in economic prosperity, they are not. Now, while they are in this position, you will find that they start committing sins. And they start, you know, for example, robbing people. Or sometimes you'll find that, no, it is not like that. They have inherited it from their forefathers, and they have got different, difficult position. And maybe that it is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are told that if the society is an affluent society, it can help these inhabitants and make them affluent as well. Because giving them a proper economy to do business, for example, will enable them to become affluent slowly and gradually. And, for example, it would also remove the social predicaments that we see in the different societies due to the sins that are committed by the poor people. And therefore, these are the two important things or elements when a person, because he is affluent, gives to those people who are needy. One is that you'll find that the sins that are committed due to poverty will become less. And number two, you will find that the society will become even more rich, because you are giving a capital to a person who knows how to do business but does not have the capital. And because you provide him the capital, you find that with the same capital, he will slowly and gradually grow and become perfect when it comes to economic affluence. In this program, we have also tackled other advantages, basically, and reviewed them. The advantage of being focused was mentioned with great detail, and another advantage for economic affluence that was mentioned is that it facilitates the expansion of Islam, and we mentioned the example of Bibi Khadija Salamullah Alayha. And in conclusion, we also mentioned another advantage, and that is assisting the poor people of the society, which would lessen the predicaments of the society. This is basically what we covered in this program. Inshallah, in our next program, we will discuss more of the advantages so that we can know how important economic affluence is with regard to the society. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin.
O my Creator, O Allah, fulfill our aims in life, Allah. Forgive our sins, Ya Allah. O Allah, the Most Gracious, Ya Rabbi bin Mustafa, Balligh maqasidana, waghfir lana ma madha, Ya wasi al-karami.